Welcome to the Soulful Podcast. I'm your host, Sam Calwart, and this is a space to reconnect to God's truth for your life so you can spiritually fill up and face the demands of each day on His firm foundation. I'm so thankful that you're on this journey with me and pray that today's episode really encourages you. Welcome to the show, everyone. Today I have on Georgia, and Georgia is the author of The In-Between and the host of the Christian podcast, Zion Sisters. She lives in BC, Canada, and she was deeply into the New Age as a tarot reading, alien channeler, and divine feminine witch. So Georgia, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me, Sam. I'm really excited to be here.
Yeah, so I haven't heard your testimony yet, only bits and pieces. So I would love to know, first and foremost, growing up, did you know Jesus? Was he a part of your family? Was there any type of religious dynamic there where you were going to church? What did that look like?
Yeah, so I grew up Catholic, actually, and I did go to Mass growing up. I went to Catholic school. But honestly, I can't really remember feeling the Holy Spirit. I didn't really feel any connection to God, although I did have one grade two teacher, and God bless her soul, because she taught our class about Jesus and we made WWJD bracelets. And that just really affected me. I really feel like I accepted Jesus in my heart when I was 7 years old. But then just growing up and just the way that Catholic school was, that relationship with Jesus wasn't really supported. So it kind of fell away.
Yeah, it's, you know, really interesting that here where I am, we have many friends that grew up Catholic, but now they are not religious at all. They are actually, most of them are atheists now, have no relationship with Jesus. So it's interesting that I hear that a lot with people who grow up Catholic, but then as they get older, they don't really have a strong relationship with Jesus or really know him. Why do you think that is?
I mean, I took religion class for 10 years and I don't even remember them talking about Jesus. I think we just talked about rules and regulations and just how to be Catholic, but it was never about the actual gospel all those years.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of politics involved and
Catholicism.
Yeah,
definitely. It was like cultural. It wasn't really about our heart posture. It was just kind of like, oh yeah, everybody's Catholic here and that doesn't really mean anything, but we go to Mass and no one really knows Jesus.
Right. Yep. Yeah, absolutely. So what enticed you about New Age spirituality, and at what age did you begin dabbling in these practices?
So I got into New Age when I was 20. The reason being is because I was desperate for healing. I was so desperate. I went through trauma and abuse as a child, sexual abuse. So that really broke me. It really, really hurt me. And I was quite troubled. Growing up, I would always have breakdowns. I was always crying. And I would definitely say I was depressed. And just because of the abuse I went through, it was so heartbreaking. So by the time I was 20, I was desperate for healing. And I basically was forced to leave my family home overnight, just because I spoke up about the abuse that happened to me and it wasn't received well. Nobody believed me. So I had to leave my family home. And so yeah, overnight I lost my family, I lost my home. And not too long after, I lost all my friends because they didn't really know how to support me. And I was just a complete mess, to be honest. I was not okay. So I heard about Reiki and I was like, oh, this is what I need. I need healing. So I did a Reiki course and then I continued on and did all the levels. I became a Reiki master. And at the Reiki course, we learned about angels and ascended masters. They did teach about Jesus, but they called him Lord Sananda, so not the real Jesus. And psychic readings and channeling and tarot. I was just exposed to all of this at a Reiki class, and it just snowballed from there. I needed healing so bad. I needed to know why my family didn't love me. I just needed help, and I was using that stuff as a crutch.
Yeah, Reiki was kind of the gateway for me as well, which is interesting, going in and having that attunement. And I actually talked about this in last week's episode about how when I had that attunement, I could feel like a dark presence coming over me. And I really believed that it was a demonic impartation. And so it's like the enemy, he uses our most vulnerable moments in life. And that was me too. I was desperate for healing and feeling really depressed at the time. And I thought, this is it. This is that healing that I was looking for all along. And so when you began to dabble in all of these things, did you feel immediate relief? Did you feel any type of spiritual activity begin to kind of open up in your life? What did that look like?
I immediately started hearing from the spirit guides. I immediately started hearing from Archangel Michael and all the archangels and the goddesses like Aphrodite and Kali. So I was just, I guess, experience what in the New Age they call clairaudience. And so I was like, wow, this is awesome. Like, I guess I'm a psychic. But I didn't experience any healing, but I just thought, oh, that's because I need to give it time. But I did experience, I don't know if this is a relief, but almost like fake hope and answers, because I also started to learn about the law of attraction and past lives. And so I thought, okay, well, I must have just abused someone else in a past life. And so this is just my karma, and I just need to deal with it.
Yeah. And all of those modalities during that time in your life, what they did for me was give me a sense of control. Like when everything else in my life was just out of my control, it was like, okay, finally, I have some say. I have some power that I can actually use to control my destiny, that I can use to heal myself and heal others. And I experienced the same right when I received my Reiki attunements and went through my course. I began to see things, hear things. And I thought, wow, I'm gifted. Like they told me I was. I'm tapping into the spiritual realm and I'm using these spirits to help myself evolve and heal. And I thought it was so cool. Like at the time, I was like, this is incredible. And I really felt this superiority over others because I had this special gift and it kind of like inflated my ego. I don't know if you felt that at all.
Yeah, I felt really special. I felt really holier than thou. The Reiki teacher told me that I was an incarnated fairy. So I just went with that, and I was like, I guess I'm a fairy. And then later on, I got into like 5D and ascension, and I really just thought I was a light worker here to just bring a new consciousness. And I thought it was my duty to just like be this new consciousness, to be a good example for others. I thought it was my duty to share about all these spiritual modalities that I was doing. And yeah, I did feel better. Like I had narcissism. And I think that's just normal in the New Age. Like people just think they're special because that's what we're told. And so we just eat it up.
Oh, absolutely. And then you began doing healing sessions with other people or giving other people advice, and they give you so much praise. Like I was always told, oh, you're such an incredible healer. You're amazing. Like I would get these types of compliments on a daily basis. And that's what the enemy does, is he tries to inflate your ego and give you this false sense of security and that all those feel good emotions of light and love within that space. And of course, it's all deception. But if he can continue to keep you in that headspace of you're special, you're valued, you're worthy, after coming out of so much trauma, I really do believe is that's how he plays on our emotions and he uses that. to continue to keep people in that space.
Yeah, totally. And another part of my journey was I actually became homeless right after everything that went down with my family, like not too long after it went from like couch surfing to actually being on the streets of British Columbia, Canada. I stayed in homeless shelters and I stayed in transition houses. And this whole time I was sober. I didn't do anything, but I was spending a lot of time in libraries because I had nowhere else to go. So I would read Louise Hay books. I would read, what's that author? Eckhart Tolle. I would
Yep.
read his books. And I started to become vegan, even though I had no money. And it's just so funny to look back upon. I thought I was on this wild spiritual mission, and I thought it was my job to basically preach the new age to the people that I knew from being on the streets. Because, it's a very desolate situation, especially on the West Coast. There's like fentanyl and stuff like that. So I saw a lot of devastation, and like honestly, God protected me so much. Like what I went through was hard, but it could have been so much worse. Like really, it could have been. But I was really just trying to like heal everyone around me. Like I would do tarot readings for the girls that were in the homeless shelter with me. I would do Reiki on them. And I genuinely loved and cared for them. And for me, like I grew up having all my needs met and just, like having food and school, and I did dance. So I came from that sort of a background, even though I still had a lot of pain. But these girls that I was meeting at the homeless shelter and from the streets, like they came from foster homes, and they were just so heartbroken just from life. And that really touched me. And I just thought, oh, like if only they knew about Reiki, even though Reiki wasn't even doing much for me, but it's the only answer I had. And the ironic thing is that at one point, one of the homeless shelters I stayed at was actually Christian, and I was doing these new age things in it. But I don't know, like it was kind of more just like the organization was Christian and there wasn't really any talk about Jesus. But honestly, that place helped me out so much. Like they really got everybody who was staying there on a good path and just to like to get out of homelessness. But yeah, I still had quite a few more years in the new age. So at a certain point I was able to kind of like get myself together a little bit more, kind of like start working and stuff. And so I was moving around all the time. I was one of those people in the new age that was like constantly moving, very nomadic, like can't stay in one place. I've been through like all these new age communities in Canada and also Central America, and I just always was following the synchronicities, and they were real. They were so real. Like I would like, for example, one of the places I went to was Salt Spring Island, which is in Canada. It's a beautiful island, but there just also happens to be a lot of new age stuff there. And I decided to move there just because I kept hearing people say Salt Spring Island. And I just kept like sort of like seeing it around, or maybe it would pop up on my social media. And so I was like, oh, I guess I need to move to Salt Spring. And I thought when those synchronicities happened that it was the angels talking to me. Like I thought it was like Archangel Michael, genuinely.
Oh yeah, guiding you. I know I would see angel numbers like 333, or I'd see a cardinal on my walk like every single day, and I'm like, oh, there's a sign from the universe. I'm on the right path. That's what I would tell myself.
Yeah, I totally understand that. And so after about maybe a year after leaving my family, I was about 21. I started to get really into Kundalini yoga. And I also met this girl who was a bit older than me, and she was channeling Ascended Masters, and she was super into Kundalini. I think she might have even wore a turban sometimes. She had a different name because in Kundalini, I think you said you did that too, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
They give you different names. Mine was Arjun Piara Kar, and that's like the first sign of a cult is they give you a new name.
Yes, definitely a red flag.
Yeah, absolutely. So anyways, I met this girl and she told me that she was a priestess and that I was a priestess. And so, being very self-centered in the new age, I thought, oh, she must be right. And that makes sense. That makes sense that I'm on a special spiritual mission. And she told me all these grand visions she had about a past life where we were in a temple together. And she claimed to channel Jesus. And I got into channeling after that too. So I would basically just like sit there and call upon. I was very into goddesses, like divine feminine, like I said, Aphrodite. So I'd be like, oh, Aphrodite, like come speak through me. And then I would like automatically write. And the messages would come through and I would feel a presence come into me. And so as the years went on, I mean, I was so deep in all these practices. And this was like the farthest levels of New Age. I mean, I feel like there's so much in New Age. There's like the stuff that's kind of more like grounded, I guess, like, polarity and whatnot. But then there's also like what I was doing, which was like, fully in the spirit world, talking to the aliens. Like at one point, I channeled, I think, like the Syrian aliens on my Instagram. Yeah,
Oh, goodness.
so yeah, but the thing is, the whole time I was dealing with really intense poverty. I did manage to get out of homelessness thanks to especially that Christian homeless shelter that really helped me. But I was constantly suffering over these years. I was constantly in relationships, whether it was a man or a woman, that were draining me, that were sucking me dry. It was like I kept attracting abuse. And so after about maybe 3 years of just moving around all the time and just not like my life wasn't really getting any better. I mean, I wasn't homeless anymore, so that was good. But like I was still devastated. I was still crying almost every day. I went through a lot of mental health strife and like even feeling suicidal at times. But nothing was really working. So I just kept searching. I kept searching for the next thing. And there was a certain point where the angels or whoever, I mean, it was demons, the demons, they gave me a message and I believed it. And I shared this message and I ended up making a huge fool of myself. It was super embarrassing. So after that happened, I kind of stepped away from channeling and working with like all these like spiritual beings. And I shifted to family constellations and other stuff like that. But I do feel led to share that the message that these demons that I thought were spirit guides was sharing with me was that I was pregnant. And it was very vivid. It was like I had dreams. I would, let's say, like open a book and I would see the word conception. It was like, you know how it is. There's like synchronicities that I was like, oh, they're clearly telling me I'm pregnant. And I did have a boyfriend at the time, and it was a worldly relationship, so that could have been a possibility. But I wasn't, and I took pregnancy tests. I was, traveling around. I was in New Zealand at that time. I like paid a lot of money to go to a New Zealand doctor, and she confirmed I was not pregnant, and I still believed it. So this was this huge message that I got that was very embarrassing because I trusted New Age and the spirit guide so much that I was like, this doctor and these pregnancy tests are wrong, and these spirit guides and all my dreams are right. So I'm going to go ahead and make an announcement. It's kind of just funny now, but anyway, so after that, I did take a bit of a step away from channeling, and then I focus more on like yoga, Kundalini yoga, like Eastern chanting, like moon stuff. At one point I led moon circles, and yeah, it was like I kind of, there's so much in New Age. I just went from like one set of very weird things to another.
Oh yeah, it's endless. Like the modality, the different amount of modalities and these ancient quote unquote practices are truly endless, and that's what is keeping people in this hamster wheel of quote unquote healing, because you're just going down this deeper and deeper and darker rabbit hole, and it's never ending. At one point, I remember thinking that I was a Pleiadian star seed, because there's all of these different blogs and books like five signs you're a star seed, you have empathy, you're a healer, you're a light worker. The Pleiadians are here on a mission to help evolve consciousness and heal other people. And there are people who truly believe that they are a star seed, they're an alien. They'll go into meditation or do ayahuasca and they have these alien encounters. Different abductions. I've actually listened to different ones. And what's really interesting is the people who study all of this stuff, many of them are atheists, but they began to see a trend that when people would call out the name of Jesus out loud, all of a sudden the abduction experience would abruptly end. And that is no coincidence. Yeah, it's so real. And I really believe that even like the government and the people who study all of these things, that they know the truth of what these quote unquote aliens really are. And I mean, of course, we go back to like Genesis, there's the Nephilim, and those are definitely aliens, like the same type of alien type of figure, which is really just these demonic entities on Earth. But it's wild how the different how your ego, like you believe that you're surrendering and dissolving your ego in New Age and becoming so evolved and open-minded. But in reality, it's like you're just jumping from one identity to another.
Oh yeah, absolutely. For me, it went from fairy to priestess to 5D teacher to divine goddess to whatever the heck else it went to. It was never stable. And I feel like another thing with New Age is that it gaslights people into just blaming themselves for all their problems. Like I said, I thought I abused someone in a past life. And I also thought the reason I was dealing so much with poverty was not because of all the trauma I went through, but because I wasn't thinking enough positive thoughts because I was so into the law of attraction, and so much so that it genuinely felt like I was mind controlled. Like if I had a negative thought, I would freak out and I'd be like, cancel, clear, delete, cancel, clear, delete. And I would just freak out and say that when I had a negative thought or if I had any sort of like invasive thought. And so it was like my mind wasn't even a safe place to be, which is really interesting because with the positive thinking, like it's so enticing to people and they're like, oh yeah, positive thinking. And it is in the Bible, like to think about what is good and pleasing and perfect. So there is an element of truth to that, but to just like have that ownership of my reality is created 100% by me is so intense and scary, and it was never a responsibility any human should have. And so I took on that responsibility by the law of attraction and just deciding to heal my life through that way.
Oh yeah,
And
the shadow work, like thinking that, oh, I just need to heal my relationship with money. I need to heal my shadows. This is the reason why I'm not able to break through and receive that financial blessing that I've been trying to seek for the last decade. And that's what's so interesting with so many people within the New Age. They are in poverty. And I was in that place for a long time before the enemy then gave me success financially in my New Age business. Because, of course, if you have that financial success there, you don't want to leave it, you don't want to give it up. It feels good to the flesh. But then once I actually stopped manifesting, Then I understood what the true favor of God really was. And, you know, he completely transformed my life and my finances and everything. But it's just hilarious how we really do trick ourselves into believing it's all us. And the thing is all these spiritual teachers and manifestation coaches, they're teaching people it's you. You have to heal your relationship with money. You have to heal your past life, like you said. You have to heal your shadows and you have to work through your trauma and your grief. And then you can evolve to the next level. If you just heal your relationship with the universe, then you can have all the financial blessings that you've ever dreamed of. And there's a lot of manifestation coaches within this space who are making a lot of money doing this and teaching people these principles and all of these practices. And it's such a deception.
Oh yeah, it totally is. And I saw so many people struggling in that life and really having a lot of financial difficulty because there's this idea that you have to be a spiritual guide and you have to make money doing that. But there's only so many people who can be spiritual guides. And then those ones that are, like, the devil pays well sometimes if you're doing what he wants to do. So in a way, I think it was kind of a blessing that my spiritual business, which I'll get into in a bit. It was tarot. It never, like, I did make money and it did start going, but like it was never enough to sustain me. And I think that was just God's protection. But yeah, so I kind of stopped, like, maybe around 2018, I stopped moving around so much and being in that very, like, frenzy of new age movement, like, gotta go here, gotta go there. And I settled more down in Vancouver. And at this point, I kind of just stopped everything new age except for yoga and Kundalini yoga. And I actually got a job at a place called Yoga West, which is like the owners, they were direct students of Yogi Bhajan. And I thought I had just, like, made it because I really was in the Kundalini cult. I was like, this is awesome. Like, this is so meant to be. I'm moving to Vancouver. It's so cool here. And Vancouver was just very, like, mind-blowing for me, I guess, because where I grew up was actually quite conservative, and I'm grateful for that. I love it. But yeah, Vancouver's just a little more liberal, I guess, and just different. And I wasn't used to, like, different alternative types of relationships. And so when I moved there, I was like, hey, this is my new beginning. I guess I'm not going to do so much of the spirit guide stuff anymore, but I'm just going to be a yogi and I'm going to go deep on that path. And I'm going to do my Kundalini yoga teacher training and I'm going to wear a turban and I'm going to be chanting all day long. And so not too long after I started working at Yoga West, yeah, I mean, I hope it's okay to say this. I mean, I'm just going to say it, but they weren't nice to me. They weren't nice to me at all. Everybody there was very condemning and very rude. I would say it was borderline abusive. And so something was really, wrong with that, of course. And I just thought, oh, maybe it's just because, like, Yogi Bhajan is really strict and, like, they're very into his lineage. And so I just brushed it off, but I did end up quitting, and they really did not want me to quit. They were very intent on keeping me and holding me there. And, like, I just look back and I'm like, it's like they wanted to, like, feast on me. Like, they were just so excited to just have this, like, young girl and, like, train her in all the ways of Kundalini. And yeah, there's just something that doesn't sit right in my spirit about that. Nonetheless, I continued with Kundalini and I got so into it because I was so, like, just set on having abundance and not being in poverty anymore. Because I kind of was just always, like, broke and just, not really doing well in life at all. So I continued to do that a lot, and also being in Vancouver and just being exposed to all these new, like, I guess, sexualities. I actually started to identify as bisexual and then later on as fully lesbian. And I feel really led to share that the moment that my sexuality changed was from what I thought was a Kundalini awakening. So I was in my bedroom, and I mean, I think I was chanting or something. And there was also like these finger movements that I was doing. So I was doing that. And honestly, like my roommates must have just thought I was so weird. But like, you know, just hearing this like other language chanting in the other room, and they weren't ever into that stuff too. So, anyways, so I was laying on my bed, and I could feel a snake energy like go through like almost like my womb area and go up like this, up towards my what I thought was my crown chakra. And it genuinely was a snake. Like I felt it. I was like, oh, this is a snake. This must be the Kundalini. And it, you know, this is just so blasphemous, but like I was happy about it at the time because I thought all the Kundalini had finally paid off. So anyways, after that, I just didn't like men. I was just like, I don't like them. Like I always before that kind of thought, oh, like maybe I'm bi curious, but I definitely want a man. But after that, I was like, nope, don't like men. I only like women. And so yeah, I just called myself bisexual for a while, but then eventually I became fully lesbian. And I even had like a full-on girlfriend, and she was also new age, but more so into like cacao ceremonies and very into yoga, basically into being like a new age Instagram influencer. So that was another thing where I was like, I'm on the right path, like I'm on the spiritual path because I'm attracting like people who are vibrating at the same frequency, and I'm like going beyond gender stereotypes, and you know, I'm like bridging a new earth.
Wow. And it's interesting too, going back to you felt this abuse and control within that yoga studio and that space here where I live in West Michigan. And using, or I used to go and work under some of the different yoga studios to do my breathwork and cacao ceremonies. And very soon learned that many of the owners were like very like you said, like they're just mean and controlling, which is really interesting. And then I heard of a friend who went to a certain yoga studio, and she was being verbally abused by the owner there as an instructor. So there is something to that. And then I remember going down to Costa Rica for this healing retreat and training for breath work, and it was an Osho community and commune. And all of the people there were really mean. Like it was like they didn't want us there. You could just tell that it was a very controlling space. So yeah, it's like, you know, you think that these people would be so evolved and kind and open-hearted and compassionate, and it's quite the opposite.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's what new age, and I like how you said in another episode, people who are in new age don't call themselves new age. They're just like, I'm spiritual. And that's what I was saying too. And so, yeah, when I started working there, I was really surprised that I wasn't treated well because I thought, isn't this the whole point of yoga to be a good person and to like, quote unquote, open your heart chakra and just like be good in life and be a good person. And it wasn't like that at all.
No. And many of these, the owners and different yoga teachers and instructors behind the scenes, they are struggling with a lot of mental health disorders that I think a lot of people don't realize because they put on this front for Instagram and social media that they have it all together, that they're peace, love, kumbaya. But in reality, a lot of them are taking prescription antidepressants and they're struggling with their relationships and feeling a lot of judgment on themselves and others. And I really do believe it's because it's that open door from the enemy to come in, and that's what he does. You give him an illegal entry into your life, he'll take it. And then when you go into what you experience with that Kundalini awakening, I've heard of so many people having different like crazy experiences with Kundalini awakenings, whether it's paralysis, sleep paralysis, psychosis. All kinds of wild experiences, vi vivid visions, what you experience with the serpent going up the spine, and then all of a sudden having a strong desire to be with women. And I truly do believe that why our generation and what's happening within our culture right now is just, of course, so perverse and the absolute opposite of what God intended for us as a species is, of course, because the God of this age, aka Satan, has infiltrated everything and he uses these open doors. And then when these demons come into your life, they begin to control you, which you don't realize. And so when we go back to like all the different identities that you switch from within the new age, everyone has a different Instagram bio every other week within the new age because they have a new name for themselves. The same thing goes with your sexuality, and they control everything, your thoughts, your desires, and then of course your sexual preference. And it's not you that's craving that, it's the entity within you that's now controlling you, which is of course a really scary thing.
Oh yeah, it's so scary. Praise the Lord that I'm delivered from that. And I feel led to share too that when I was in that lifestyle, I always felt not good about myself. I always felt ashamed. I always felt like I didn't really want to tell people that I was lesbian. And I, of course, I just thought, oh, this is internalized homophobia because where I grew up is very conservative. That was the lie I told myself. And I thought, I just thought I didn't love myself enough and that I needed more self-love and more self-love and more self-love meditations. But now that I've been delivered of that same-sex attraction, like I don't feel any sort of shame or embarrassment about that I like men. And I think that's where the whole Pride Month comes in because, this might be a lot to say, but I'm gonna go ahead and say it. I think a lot of people experience that shame. And so pride will cover that. If they're not feeling good about that, because it's not God's design, then if they're just told, oh, you need to be more proud, you need to be more proud. Well, then they're like, okay, I fell for that too. I guess I got to be proud of who I am. And so I bought into that for a little bit, but like pride is not of God. And so I just feel like part of being delivered from whatever that Kundalini spirit was that made me like women was also just going back to my original organic design, how God made me, which is, to be with a man. And if I'm not with a man, to just be with God and nothing else.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, during this time, do you feel like you were going down this spiral, like mentally, emotionally? How are you being impacted on a day-to-day basis?
I would say that I was just constantly in anguish. And of course, I pretended like I was okay. And if anyone followed my social media at the time, they're probably like, oh, she's having a great time. Because it got to the point where I would start going down to like Panama and Costa Rica, and those kinds of places, for new age reasons. But I was spiraling and I was not okay. That whole entire time I was in New Age, I was not okay. I can't even say that I had like a temporary period of happiness because I was devoid of any peace. I just didn't have the peace of God. I was so far from the way that He wants us to live. And so because of that, I didn't have peace. And yet I was just like peddling off all these like tarot readings and stuff like that, just thinking that I just needed to do more shadow work, or I just needed to like finally clear the trauma with my family. And the day of that trauma clearing just never came. Like, no matter how much I spent on family constellations and activations and like so many things, but that healing never came. But the monumental moment for me was when I was in Costa Rica in 2021, and I went there. I mean, for many reasons, but I basically just was like ready for the next step on my spiritual journey, and I was like ready to be like a divine feminine content creator. And I at that point had an Instagram called I Am Witch Tribe, and I was like posting half naked pictures of myself and Just really pushing this like artsy witch kind of thing. And when I was in Costa Rica, I just felt despair. I felt so much despair. I was at one of the most beautiful beaches in the world. I had friends. I met people down there. I'm still really good friends with one of them. She's one of my dear sisters. And but like the rest of them, I mean, God bless their souls. They were all doing new age things. We were all doing new age things. It was like Costa Rica was some sort of like gathering ground for like people who want to be spiritual influencers
It's
and
like
like everything.
it's the Mecca, Costa Rica, Tulum, and then Bali.
Yeah, totally. And yeah, I also went to Lake Atitlan too, which I can touch on later. But anyways, so in Costa Rica, I got down on my knees. I don't really know why I did that, but I just did. I honestly think I was on my yoga mat. And I was just like, what is going on? Like, I'm not so much in poverty anymore. I'm allegedly living the dream. I'm in Costa Rica with all these like crypto bros. And like, why am I not okay? And then I just thought, oh, well, it's because, I still have the family trauma. But something came over me. And now I know it was the Holy Spirit. But I just like looked up and I was like, whoever made me, whoever created me, whoever gave me the breath of life, like, just please, please, like, talk to me. Just talk to me. And so I said that prayer. And then as soon as I said that prayer, I knew immediately that the relationship I was in, which was a woman at the time, was going to end. I just knew it. And I knew it was because of the prayer. But I just thought, well, I just want the divine will. I didn't really use the term God yet. So I just thought, okay, whatever's on my highest timeline, I'm happy for. But then after that, I continued to go through despair, anxiety, especially as that relationship ended, because I genuinely thought she was my twin flame. But yeah, it was a lot of pain I was going through at that time, but I just kept feeling led to Google Jesus quotes. So I would do that multiple times throughout the day. I would just be like, Jesus quote anxiety, like Jesus quote depression. And though what his words really helped me. And so by the time I got back to Canada, I just got a Bible and I was like, I can't believe I'm doing this, but I'm gonna go ahead and read the New Testament. And from there, I knew Jesus. I read the New Testament and I couldn't stop crying. I was like, this is Jesus? This isn't this Lord Sananda thing that I learned about. Like, this is Jesus. Like, he's the Son of God. Oh my gosh. And I was just like washed over with truth. And I had a vision of like God coming down to earth and walking towards me. And I just knew it was Jesus. And I just felt so much love and so much peace. And I just immediately just was like, wow, like something was really off with the way I was living. And then I just started to do more research on like being a born again Christian, because I was like, oh, I guess I'm a born again Christian. This was never my plan, but like, I just love Jesus. Like, I was just like, wow, like, I get it now. And then I just came across all these New Age to Jesus testimonies, and I realized I wasn't the only one.
Wow, praise God. Isn't that amazing? Where he will just plant the seed, you say a prayer. That was the exact experience for me, is at one of the lowest points in my life. And I think in your desperation, it's something in your spirit knows that all of the new age stuff isn't going to help you, and you need to go to God himself. And then once you do, that's when Jesus is revealed to you. And the New Testament, like, I just had such a hunger. And as I was reading, I was being convicted, like, over and over again by the Holy Spirit about everything in my life that I was doing wrong, and just feeling the grace of God, like you said, wash over me, and his forgiveness and his mercy, and feeling so undeserving of it all, but at the same time feeling so grateful that he loved me so much that he plucked me out of all of that deception and revealed the truth to me. And it continues to be, of course, my prayer, and just that feeling of deep reverence for understanding who Jesus really is. One of my greatest irks is this whole Christ consciousness thing where people think that Jesus was an ascended master. He was a Reiki master. I had someone in my DMs telling me she sent me this video on YouTube called My Yoga Is Easy instead of My Yoke Is Easy. And
Oh.
it's all about how no, Jesus, he was actually like a yogi and a Reiki master and all of these things. And of course, like that's just blasphemy. It made the hairs on my arms stand up. But it is very unfortunate that some people they think they find Jesus. But unfortunately, it's not the real Jesus. Like the whole Christ consciousness is false. It's a lie straight from the pit of hell. And you have to truly get to the Bible and the New Testament to really know and understand who Jesus is.
Yeah, 100%. And I think a really good way to tell, that it's not the real Jesus is that it doesn't come with peace. It doesn't come with peace. Like the peace that I feel now, I mean, I wish I had this years ago because I'm just like, it's all good. I'm God's child. I trust God. Like if you're with God, who can be against you? It's just this beautiful, like supernatural peace. And whatever those people are saying about yoga Jesus is like, that's blasphemy, that's false, and it doesn't give anyone the Holy Spirit. It doesn't give them peace.
No. I mean, it literally says in Exodus, you shall have no other gods before me. So when you're participating in yoga and all of these other practices that are rooted in false religion, though, I mean, they have thousands of different gods, little g, and those gods are real. They're just demons. So it's like that, that's what you're yoking to is demonic entities.
Yeah, giving them full access to yourself like I was. And I'd also like to mention too that so many things just naturally healed in that summer. That was summer 2021 when I came to Jesus. Like I just stopped feeling the need to overeat. That was something that I did a lot. And I was dealing with cystic acne, and that just like cleared up. And it was just these kind of like little health issues that I had. They just sort of faded away because I was filled with the truth.
Wow, that very similar experience of what happened with me and many of my health ailments actually came in when I was deep in the new age. And so when I, of course, renounced it all, I began to see healing within my body begin to manifest, like things that I was working on for a really long time begin to clear up and be healed. And so during that time, were you seeking deliverance and prayer to renounce everything? Were you throwing everything out of your house? What did that chapter look like for you?
Well, at that point, I was once again dealing with housing insecurity because I was supposed to live in a car or a van with a girlfriend I had at the time. And, that obviously ended. And I had, told my roommate that I was moving out and I was going to move in with her. And then, she left. I came to Jesus. So I was just staying in like a temporary sublet type place at that time. And, I was just very alone. Like I didn't go to church. I felt very isolated. So I did connect with a few people online, but I wasn't really seeking anything. I was very much just so alone with God, and I really didn't want to be misunderstood. And I knew that if I talked about it, people, especially my friends at the time, would probably just think, oh, she's religious or she grew up Catholic. That's just, whatever. She's going back to that. And I really had the fear of being misunderstood, and I just knew that my relationship with God was so precious. So I really kept it to myself. And but I did need deliverance at that time. So I ended up leaving Canada just due to certain mandates that were in place at the time. It just wasn't safe for me to be in Canada. So I left, and I went to Lake Atitlan, Guatemala. Which is so beautiful, but it also happens to be a new age community. So I definitely still had some deliverance and stuff that needed to happen because I was very drawn to that community. And I do feel like it was an important part of my journey, but I basically went back into deception from there not too long after I got there. when I first got there, I was living in a beautiful tree house and working online and just like helping the dogs. I did some babysitting and I was just living a very solo life and, just kind of ignoring all the new age stuff. In my mind, I'd be like, that's blasphemous. I rebuke that. That's blasphemous. But, like I was still surrounded by it. And I just thought, well, I'm just going to stay on the narrow path with God. But I just didn't have the proper support that one really needs, especially when coming out of deep witchcraft. Like I literally called myself a witch. I was in deep and I really needed Christian support, like solid support. And I didn't have that. I had some wonderful friends that I met like through Telegram and stuff. And I still keep in touch with them, but I didn't have any in-person support and I wasn't able, or I chose not to go back to Canada at that time. So yeah, I at that point I wasn't quite delivered from the same-sex feelings, and I had a couple unfruitful conversations with Christians about those feelings. And I knew what the Bible said, but I still felt those feelings at the time. And so I thought, God made me, so I didn't fully understand about the Kundalini spirit, and I just thought, if it's God's will, he's going to take these feelings away. And if not, then that's fine. And I don't really understand what's happening. But anyways, yeah, I had some unfruitful conversations and I had a conversation with a pastor that just didn't sit well with me about the LGBTQ topic. And to be honest, it really turned me away from Christ for a little while. I just thought, maybe this is really a religion and I really am deceived. Which is so sad, but that's what I thought, just because my feelings got hurt from a few conversations and I was alone and I was surrounded by extremely deep new age stuff. Yeah. And so not too long after that, I met someone who was calling out all the demonic stuff that was in the town that I was in. And it was a guy, and I loved that. I was like, someone else gets it. Someone else is saying that things are demonic. And, especially, I know you get it with the Central American like snake stuff, and it's like a serpent worship, and it gets really deep there. And, praise God, I never did ayahuasca, although I know, that's just part of some people's journey that does lead them to God. But, I never did that. But I was in that type of community where people were doing these medicine ceremonies all the time. It was so normalized.
Oh yeah. It's huge in New Age and it's gaining popularity like crazy. And one of the things that talks about in a sign of the last times is a gain in popularity of pharmakia, which is drug use. And
Wow.
of course, the psychedelics, mushrooms, peyote, ayahuasca. It is becoming very normalized, especially in Western culture, and people are seeking and desperate for healing and believe that it's the answer and that they'll find something there. But unfortunately, many people are having terrifying experiences or thinking that that's what they have to go through because that's what so many people tell you in the New Age. You have to go through hell. You have to go through your shadows in order to receive the healing. And so you think this is just part of it. But there is no dark, there's no darkness in Jesus. There's a verse in the Bible that says there is no darkness in him. And one of the first things that happens when you drink ayahuasca, is everything around you turns pitch black. I remember looking down my hands and all of a sudden they were ink black and I could no longer see their form. That's how black they were. And I was just
Wow.
so hungry to see light. And I remember like crawling to the bathroom because you're so out of it, you can barely move. And there was one little flickering flame because they had like turned all of the torches or blew them out. And there was just one little flame in the bathroom. And I was just staring at it and just like, oh God, I need more light. I need more light because at that time I was being sucked into hell and into the darkness. So yeah, it's
Wow.
terrifying, but it was 2021, and it was that experience that began to wake me up to the deception of New Age. And God showed me things within those ceremonies, both the pits of hell and then everything that I was doing wrong in my life at that time, basically. And, showed me that no, Reiki is evil and all of these things. So I'm very thankful I had that experience. And many people are delivered from their plant medicine experiences, but others are just in that deception, and it can be very addicting because believing that these shamans have the answers is a very addicting and seducing feeling when you are so desperate for healing. So I completely understand that.
Yeah, it's really a different world just being in a place where everybody's doing those things all the time and everybody's an Instagram influencer for the new age. It's a very strange world to be in.
For sure.
Yeah, so I ended up getting into a relationship with that man who was calling out the demonic things, and I thought it was from God, although now I know it was, it wasn't a godly relationship, but I really did turn away from my faith at that point because my feelings were hurt, and I was scared and I was alone, and I did find that when I shared about my faith to people in my life, they were kind of like, oh, that's a little weird and not supportive. Whereas, I could be doing the weirdest things in New Age, like literally channeling aliens, and no one thought that was weird. But then I start reading the Bible and people think that's weird.
Oh yeah. Isn't that funny, the stereotype?
Yeah, I'm like, there's one of these options is way weirder, you guys.
Seriously.
So yeah, anyways, I was kind of in this weird limbo space, and I really stepped away from God, and it was quite heartbreaking for me, but I just thought I'm gonna do my own thing with Jesus, and I'm not gonna be a part of Christian community, and I'm gonna stay yoked to New Age. And so anyways, I experienced the consequences of that. That man ended up not being loyal and really hurting me. And we were together for a little while, and it was from that pain that I went back to Jesus, and I was like, God, I am so sorry. Like I want to do it right this time. Because before, after I knew the truth of Christ, I didn't give up my old life. Like I didn't allow the sanctification to happen. I was just like, okay, woohoo, I know the truth. I have Jesus, everything's good. Period, full stop. And I genuinely didn't even know what the sanctification process was. So then when I went through this pain from the heartbreak of being with this man, and that whole situation, that really just brought me back onto my knees to God. And God was so faithful, like he really brought me, he brought me out of that community. Like there's so many miracles in my life right now that I can just say that is 100% God's work. All glory to him. Like that was only a year ago. And so, since then I've just been fully delivered from any new age attachment. And I'm finally able to speak and share my testimony, which was something I wanted to do in 2021, but I don't know, something stopped me. So anyways, yeah, I experienced turning from my faith, and I experienced the fruits of that. And I experienced being with someone who knows that the new age is demonic, but isn't quite yet with Christ, which is, I didn't realize there was people like that, but I guess there are people like
Oh yeah, I've talked to many
that.
of them, and it's I love the passage in Paul when he talks about the thorn in his side and how he asked God three times to take it away, but God didn't take it away, and he came to that realization that in my weakness, then I am strong because I can rely fully on God. And I think that I really go back to that when there's stuff in my own life where I say, oh, why is this not healed yet? Or why have I not worked through this? But then I realize it's because I still need that full reliance on God. I can't do it alone. And of course, too, this life is so temporary. And I know that I have that promise that I'm going to be with him in eternity and there'll be no pain and no suffering. And I can't wait for that day, of course. And I feel that that day is going to be near with everything happening in the world right now. But he really does use those moments in our life that are just so tough and challenging to draw us closer to him so we can finally go through that full sanctification process.
Absolutely. Yeah, I was like, Jesus, I am never turning away from you again. Like, change me. do what you need to do. Like, I don't like take away all people pleasing. Like, give me a heart to just praise the Lord. Like, I really just fully like let God change me, and He really did. Like, my life is just, it's very blessed now because I did go through that sanctification. And I mean, it's a lifelong journey, but I fully let go of the old life. I fully let go of the old friends. And I just thought, you know what? I'm gonna speak the truth now. I'm gonna talk about Jesus. And if they want to be my friend, still great. And if not, that's okay. And I changed my wardrobe. I had to get rid of a lot of clothes. And I deleted my old social media and made a new one. It was like, and just so many like inner changes, forgiving. You know, it was a big cleansing process, but I just feel so much better for it that I actually let those changes happen and actually like let my old life die.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what's so hilarious is that so many people in the New Age believe that they're. It's like every full moon, okay, we gotta let go. What are we letting go of this full moon? And the whole surrender and trust in the universe. But what's hilarious is that everyone is controlling and holding on so tightly because you're just going from one workshop to the next to another retreat to continue to learn how to evolve and co-create your life and heal yourself. And so it's actually the complete opposite of letting go and true surrender. So it was only because I actually taught those practices and beliefs. And it was only until I went through sanctification did I understand, okay, this is what true surrender and letting go and obedience means, taking up your cross and following Jesus every single day. Like it's a daily commitment and decision. And when you make it, He absolutely begins to transform you. And then the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit indwells within you, you have a new sense of boldness and conviction for Christ that you never had before. And that fear of, oh, what are other people going to think? And I don't know if I should talk about this. It just completely dissolves away. You just do not care anymore.
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely feel that now, and it's so good. There was a lot of times where I wanted to share my testimony. I wanted to talk about Jesus, and I just couldn't because I was like, oh no, people are going to think I'm religious. And I wasn't fully sanctified yet. I wasn't ready. And now I can be like, look, guys, like my life has literally changed so much for the better in all the ways. Because I gave up my old life, and it's this new one is so much better.
Absolutely. And so, did you go through spiritual warfare when you renounced everything, or what did that look like for you?
Honestly, I think the spiritual warfare I went through was very sneaky. It wasn't anything like, the sleep paralysis and like the demonic attacks, which I did get when I was like basically on the verge of saying that prayer in Costa Rica. I was getting like actual demons coming for me, but I didn't have anything like that. I think it was just in the form of really sneaky, subtle thoughts, like you're gonna get mind controlled, and like you're just going into another deception. Like basically thoughts that caused me to doubt my faith. And I believe that part of the reason I stepped away from my faith was the fruit of those thoughts. Like I let them take root in my mind because I didn't really have solid community to help me. So I guess that was another thing is isolation from other Christians and just being alone. So being like very just isolated and not having really anyone to kind of walk beside me, and the churches there they're in Spanish, and I wasn't fluent, like so I couldn't, understand. And just like the very subtle influences around me, and just being in a new age community, and just kind of feeling like the presence of all of that and the presence of the darkness, and feeling like this darkness like hates me. Like this darkness knows that I have Jesus, and it was kind of scary. So I guess, yeah, also just feelings of fear and feeling like I wasn't able to speak up about the truth of what happened to me, because that would really offend a lot of people where I was.
Yeah, the enemy loves to plant those intrusive thoughts. And then the fear of telling your testimony. I can't tell you how many New Agers, ex-New Agers that I've talked to that would love to share their testimony, but they just have so much fear. Like the fear is still controlling them to share what they went through. And then the isolation, the enemy wants us alone. This is why it's so important that we are discipled and that we begin to become mentored by elders of the church or people that are stronger in the faith, get connected to a local church. It truly is so important.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been seriously a lifesaver to just actually go to church, which I had so much resistance to. I think just because I went to mass growing up and it was, in my experience, quite boring and not very Holy Spirit filled. So when I finally started to go to church here and meet people, like there's a girl at my church who is also in New Age, and it's really given me so much life to just like actually have Christian community.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And it just feels so good. Like just that spiritual being filled up spiritually every week, with a pastor that can help edify you and the praise and worship and that sense of community, feeling the presence of the Holy Spirit. It's so powerful.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so in the last year, how has your life transformed?
Well, I have a stable apartment for the first time ever, and I just have stability. I have steadiness. I never had this ever. I never had like a steady job, steady income, steady home. I have like grounded goodness. And one of my good friends here, she's also come to Christ recently and also was from the New Age. And so I'm like, I have all these like beautiful friendships around me, and they understand the path I was on because they were there too. And so, I thought I was going to be kind of a lone wolf, but God has blessed me with these new friendships, and it's just so nice to be able to pray together and understand each other. And like, one of us is feeling weak, we can always strengthen each other. And I just feel like this sense of chillness that I never felt, because I was always really motivated by this need to travel and go to these vortex New Age places and get all the activation codes and get all the like ley line information and all that stuff. So I just finally feel like this steadiness where I'm like, you know what, God, if you want me to travel again, great. But like, just let me know. And until then, like, I'm just gonna enjoy where I am. And so it's kind of like just this chillness that I never had.
I feel the exact same. It's interesting that people within the New Age, they're very nomadic. So like I did retreats. I'd go to Sedona, Bali, Costa Rica, and I actually, when I was really deep in it, I was not interested in having children. I also was only focused on making as much money as possible and growing my business. And I also wanted to move out of state away from my family. Like I wanted to move to like somewhere tropical and beautiful where I could be connected to Mother Earth and take all of these beautiful Instagram photos and videos and, run my business poolside. And it seems to be a reoccurring theme that I see with many people in the New Age. And I don't know if it's this analogy of why people are, they're just constantly seeking, and that's why they feel this sense of being unsettled in the New Age because you don't have any security in Christ. And so instead, you're just continuing to search everywhere within modalities, places to live, titles to use for your job, different certifications to get. It's this like never-ending journey of seeking.
Yeah, it's like there's so many certifications. The list can literally go on, and they just get even more out there as the years go on. But I can say, like, I lived in those communities and I didn't see anyone at peace. I actually didn't even see one healthy family where the mom and the dad are in a loving relationship and the children are like protected by the mom and the dad. I saw just, a lot of broken families. And I don't mean this to like shame or condemn that, but I just mean like that's the fruits of New Age. It doesn't give men like godly characteristics. Like there's men where I was living in their late 30s, 40s, 50s. They're all polyamorous and they are breaking girls' hearts left, right, and center. There's a lot of girls flocking to these places and they hear about it from Instagram. They see like, Gaia Dance Temple, whatever. I'm going to go there. They don't know what polyamory is. I've seen this happen. And then they get involved with these guys because they're deceived. They're like, oh, what's polyamory? And then before you know it, they're heartbroken by these dudes because they're just moving on to the next girl because they don't have the spirit of the living God. They don't know how to love a woman. They don't know how to take care of a family. And for me, like now that God's given me a new heart, like I have a heart. I would love to have children and a godly marriage that's Christ-centered. And like the new age communities I was in, like the families there couldn't be further from that. They genuinely could not be further from that design.
That's exactly what I saw too. And so many of the women and these spiritual teachers were single like their entire lives, or they would bounce from partner to partner, no children. And so, I mean, the enemy hates children. He hates the family structure. So, of course, that's no surprise to me at all that those people are within that state.
Yeah, and he doesn't want people to procreate naturally. The enemy doesn't want people to have like loving families that are made the way God intended it. And so I believe that is why all these like, alternative ways are pushed because they're not necessarily like ways that people can have children naturally.
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely. So you have this new sense of peace, being settled, having stability for the first time in your life. And that's exactly, it's like this feeling of just it truly is. I've said this before, but it's a supernatural peace that comes over you. And it's incredible. The level of faith and trust. And then just continuing to be in full obedience to God. It's something that I hunger for. It's like something I really crave and I want to live in righteousness. And that's why I continue to renew myself daily in scripture because it's like something I just get a little nugget like every single day that just speaks so deeply to me on a spiritual level.
Yeah, me too. I genuinely can't go a day without it. I love it. I am it. I love the Bible.
Absolutely. It's God's direct way to communicate to us. And like I said, I've seen it time and time again, especially when I first came out of the New Age. That's when it was like all of these verses were just jumping off the pages. And before I thought the Bible's so boring, like why would I want to read it? That all my Bibles were tucked away. And now I just have them in open places throughout the home. So anytime I want to sit down and read, I can. But it absolutely is something that just instantly makes me feel reconnected to God.
Oh yeah, it really is his living water. It is so calming. It's the best, in my experience, the best anti-anxiety, the best antidepressant is the Bible.
Absolutely. And there's now clinical studies showing that too, which is really cool. Like people think, well, you just need to do breath work or meditation or yoga. I mean, there's even doctors that are now to saying that that's what you need to do to reduce stress. But the practice of worship and scripture and going to God in your secret place, those are truly the best antidotes to anxiety and depression.
Totally. And I think it's important to mention too that there can be like a temporary artificial peace that comes from yoga. I did yoga for years and years, so I've experienced it, but it never lasted. And whenever that yoga high would wear off, I would just feel irritable and like, oh, I just need to do more yoga. It was like a drug. It genuinely was. And I believe that's because yoga is yoking to these Hindu deities, and that's not God. And they want you to keep coming back to them. It's like a parasitic relationship. And so they will give you artificial peace that's not from the Holy Spirit to draw people back. And it's not like the same peace, it's not the same peace of Christ.
No. Not at all. And we know the difference because we were
Yeah.
in those modalities for so long. And I remember leaving a yoga class and like, oh, I feel so good. That sense of being empty of all the intrusive thoughts and just reconnected to my body. I'm like, oh, this is the best feeling. But like you said, it would fade away very quickly.
Oh yeah, totally. And I've just replaced my yoga with now I just do stretching and I just listen to Christian podcasts while I do it. It's so nice, actually. It's nice to just like still take care of our bodies, but not be doing like a very intense spiritual practice that yoga is with it. I didn't realize it was actually so spiritual. It's not just exercise.
Yeah, it's a spiritual practice with physical benefits. Yeah,
Yeah.
absolutely. Oh, incredible. So, anything else you want to
Yeah.
share? Anything else on your heart before we wrap up?
I guess what I want to say is if there's anyone that hasn't tried calling out to Jesus, I just really recommend that because you never know what will happen. Like the world is full of miracle stories of people calling out to Jesus. And I am living proof that he is like he gave me a new life. Like I love Jesus and I will follow him for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
And
Amen.
so that yeah, I never thought I would say that. You know, I thought I was going to be a priestess witch forever.
Oh.
Yeah, so I'm living proof and I just encourage anyone to call out to Jesus if they haven't.
And I think doing so with a humble heart, it makes all the difference, and he will absolutely reveal himself to you.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Oh, amazing, Georgia. Well, I will include the links within the show notes for the ways to connect with you. Is there anything else that you're doing right now? So you have your podcast, you've written this book. What else are you doing?
Mostly I'm just focused on the podcast and that's pretty much it, other than just, you know, like my in-person fellowship stuff. So yeah, that's mostly where I share like parts of my testimony. And I also bring on like my sisters in Christ that I know throughout the years who've also come to the Lord from the New Age. The stories that I hear are just amazing and so wild. So yeah, that's my main project right now. And
Amazing.
yeah, that's where you can find me.
Okay, perfect. Well, thank you again for being here and for sharing your testimony and just being so bold in your faith. It's really refreshing to see.
Thank you. It was so nice. Thanks so much, Sam.
If you felt uplifted, encouraged, and supported by today's episode, it would mean so much to me if you could leave a 5-star review on either Apple or Spotify. Your reviews help these messages reach more people that need to hear his truth. And if we're not already connected, you can find me on Instagram at Sam_Kallor. I would love to say hi and hear from you in the DMs.